Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
All right, we're back at it on Thursday here on 96.5.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
I have the Fan, Fesco, and Dusty with you. Without Dusty, he's on vacation. Mac is in. I just got a text from my mom I want to read on the air. This is important stuff, okay?
Hello, Bob's mom.
She says, Mac is doing a great job.
Aw.
Isn't that nice?
That's very sweet.
Yeah, and then she said, and he's very cute.
I love it. Hey, there we go. Even with the janky headphone, Cougar Chow comes through. Oh, man.
Yeah, Cougar Chow, right? Yeah, because my mom will be 75 years of age in November, right?
It's right up my alley. So,
yeah, I mean, it's right in your wheelhouse. A little bit too old for me. Too young for me, I should probably say. I like the elderly ladies a little bit more than 75 and above. But hey, man, you've said it all along, Cougar Chow for you.
So
Hannah's got some competition.
Exactly right.
Bob's mom's ready.
Beware, Hannah.
Yeah, see, this is what happened when you miss Dancing with the Stars. You miss the opportunity. Yes. I mean, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're right. I could have had some serious macking happen that night.
Yeah, you missed that opportunity. So sorry about that for you. But
I've been pounded this week.
Says you're doing a nice job, and he's very cute.
Oh, wow.
He's a growing boy. I tell you what, a lot of people like that.
Love it.
We've got a situation where we're 43 days away from the first NFL game of the year that matters. That's the Chiefs and Chargers on Friday night in Sao Paulo, Brazil. What is our Chiefs burning question today? A hunk of burning Chiefs.
Who is the Chief you're most excited about this year? We talked yesterday about position groups we're most worried about. Now we're just going to go individual. Who's a player that you are just geared at? Could be a new guy, could be a guy coming back, could be an older guy, could be Travis Kelce for all I care. Who's the guy you're most excited about? And please be a part of the conversation. 913-586-7965. Bob?
I'm more interested in what the text line has to say, quite honestly, than what you and I have to say on this one.
Fair enough.
I'm curious as to where they are, because I think there's a lot of different players that you could throw on this list. I'm going to be very bland
with
my list. And I'm going to be very like, that was lame. But I'm actually really excited to watch Patrick Mahomes this year.
Okay.
More so than I think I've ever been.
I don't hate that.
And we were excited when he was going to start his first year. We didn't know what to expect, right? And then he blew out all the expectations. But there's so, like, I'm getting goosebumps talking about it, right? Because I really do think Patrick Mahomes is going to go out there and shove it up everybody's ass this year and make everybody look like the total fools that they are. He's got the haircut. He's 30. He's dialed in. People have body shamed him this offseason like total jerks. People have said he's, you know, over the cliff like total jerks. People have talked about his games being passed by everybody else, total jerks. Patrick Mahomes has got revenge on his mind. He's got all of the nonsense that people have been saying about him on his mind. Dude, this has been consistent, Bob, since the end of the season.
It's true.
This year is going to be epically awesome, and it's all because of Patrick Mahomes. And so that's who I'm excited to watch. Number two on my list, you're damn right it's Travis Kelce.
I knew it was going to be on there for you.
You're damn right it's Travis. Like, I have not been this excited to watch these guys play probably since after that AFC Championship game loss to the New England Patriots. Like, all right, what are they going to do next year? I am so excited to watch Travis Kelce this year. I am so excited to watch Patrick Mahomes this year. And then the third guy that I'm excited to watch, hey, I'm excited to watch Rashee Rice. I'm excited to see him grow and become, you know, kind of that veteran leader, if you will, once the suspension is that we know he's going to get suspended. And once that's done, to watch him really kind of be that new number one guy in this offense. So those three guys for me, man, I can't tell you how excited I am to watch Patrick Mahomes. I think it's going to be something special this year.
So the big three on offense.
Pretty much,
You're excited about us scoring some points and getting the ball down the field. I love it. I mean, hey, the Mahomes thing, as basic as that sounds, it is, he's 30 years old. This is kind of a new chapter. It feels like we never take Patrick Mahomes for granted, but it's not the same as it was. Like you mentioned, you know, 6-7 years ago, it's a little bit different. We're kind of just like, oh, okay, Mahomes, this is our guy. We're used to it. But I think you're right, man. I think something special is coming this year. It looks like there's a different vibe going on in camp than maybe there has been the last couple of years. Not that the vibe's ever been bad. Some good texts here coming in. The first one actually that came in was Mahomes.
Good.
We could very well see a resurgence.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's scary for the rest of the
league. Like a resurgence from a guy who was outstanding.
Yeah.
Right? We're going to see a resurgence. That's what people are talking about with Patrick Mahomes, right? A possible resurgence to what? 50 and 5,000?
Exactly. The guy who won Super Bowl MVP 2 out of the last 3 years.
Right.
We could see a resurgence
from? From Patrick Mahomes. Yeah. Or just him, you know, finally getting to that next level of, I don't want to say playing the position smarter, but you're 30 now. You have life experiences. Yes. You have game experiences. You have an entire season of experiences that are in the postseason alone. With all that combined, you're going to be a better quarterback because you've got those experiences. And so, yeah, look, I'm telling you right now, buy your Mahomes jerseys. He's going to be somebody special to watch this year.
I know that I'm hard.
For me, it went a little bit different route. I've been talking about Jaden Hicks since last year when he was getting those snaps as a rookie. I really like him out at safety, and Spags does too. If Spagnuolo's excited, it gets me going too. I'm feeling it in my plums for Jaden Hicks. I think he's just so versatile. He can do a lot of things.
Big shoes to fill.
Exactly.
As we talked about yesterday, I mean, the lineage of safeties, it's not just he's replacing Justin Reed. He's replacing Eric Berry, who was replaced by Tyrann Mathieu, who was replaced by Justin Reed. Like, there's been no letdown at safety for 15 years.
Yeah, it's similar to tight end here. After Travis Kelce leaves, whoever's going to fill that shoes, I imagine it's Noah Gray, at least immediately. It's going to have some big shoes to fill. I would say Jalen Royals. I'm extremely sports horny for Jalen Royals. I think he's just got it all. He's so poised for a rookie, it seems, and he's just another guy that can get yards after the catch, athletic, big-bodied receiver, strong for a rookie, big arms. I just think he is ahead of what most rookie wide receivers are.
What's the expectation for him this year? Like, when you look back at his first year, what would you say is a good year for Jalen Royals? Is it a numbers thing, or is it an eye test thing?
Eye test and probably like a snap count thing, like how much is he on the field? I want him to be the wide receiver 4, and I know that that won't happen at the beginning of the season, but by week 8, week 9, he should be that 4th guy off the field when it comes to wide, or off the bench when it comes to wide receivers. I know at the beginning, at least I could imagine, it's going to be Juju Smith-Schuster to start out that season because he knows the playbook. He's been here. He's a vet. I get all that. And the Chiefs,
and especially if you're not going to have Rice the first couple of weeks, you want a veteran guy that kind of knows what he's supposed to do out there. Yeah. Because I'm kind of with you with Jalen Royals. Like, I'm not going to put a limitation on it or an expectation on it. Because I don't think he's going to meet an expectation of a number. Like, if I would have said 3 touchdowns and 500 yards, you'd think, oh, that's good,
awesome.
Right?
I love it.
Yeah. But I don't know if he's going to be able to reach that. There's so many mouths to feed and weapons and whatnot. Like, putting numbers on anybody this year, other than the quarterback, is kind of foolish because I think he's going to distribute the ball a lot. But I'm with you. I want at the end of the year to go, 85 Royals, we can count on him, or whatever number he's wearing. Big miss by not wearing 85.
I think that's actually an interesting topic. Is
wearing 85 with these Royals?
No, we know there's two guys who are going to get 1,000 yards on this team, right? You could
Who are those two guys right now?
Who are those two guys right now? Exactly. We could kind of assume Rashee Rice is one of them.
But see, I would take him out with the suspension. Yes. Like, if it's a four-game suspension, it's going to be tough for him to get 1,000 yards. Two-game suspension, he could get 1,000
yards.
Oh, he'll
get 1,000. Fine.
Two,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, four games is right at that line. Will he reach 1,000? Then it's Xavier. Do we have two at that point if Rashee Rice is out for 4 weeks? So that's an interesting topic. Maybe we can talk about that tomorrow.
Kelce is still a guy that you could factor in to that equation as well.
You and I have talked about that. You're more on the 1,000 yards. I'm more of the, hey, I'll bet someone that he won't get that. Josh Simmons is coming through in the text line. That was my third name, Rice and Simmons. Simmons, that's the start. That's the end. It's got to be Josh Simmons, because if he hits as a pick, then the Chiefs are not going anywhere. I completely agree, right? If Josh Simmons is that mainstay left tackle, get ready, boys.
I mean,
get ready.
If he turns out to be half of what we think he's going to be, right? It's going to be an unbelievable pick at that left tackle position. And Eric Fisher was the number one pick overall of the draft. There wasn't this much talk about Eric Fisher going into the start of his rookie year as there is for Josh Simmons, who was left for injured by every other team in the NFL. The Chiefs traded down, still got the guy, and everybody's talking about how great he's going to be. Again, the excitement around him is bigger than any other rookie that we've had since Patrick Mahomes.
Easily.
For an offensive lineman.
Yeah, Jaden Hicks come through. McDuffie in a contract year from the 913. That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a fun one. Harrison Butker from the 620. 816, Mahomes, unleash the hounds. 816, worthy for me. I really hope one good thing to come from that Super Bowl is an established deep ball. It's a great text. It's kind of the one bright spot of that Super Bowl, which there really wasn't any. Josh Simmons and a revamped O-line. Give Mahomes some time in the pocket this year for that deep ball. Rice gets 1,000 with less than 6-game suspension. I don't hate that. And from the 660, I knew this would come through from someone. He's 6 foot, 200 pounds. I wouldn't call that big. That's speaking about Jalen Royals. Listen, we think that receivers... big receivers are 6'3", 6'4". That is few and far between that we see guys that big come in the league. I mean, I think we remember Andre Johnson maybe as a big body guy. He's 6'1". Like, these guys are 6'1".
Is that it?
He's 6'1"? He might be 6'2". Like, 6'1", 6'2". Like, these guys are not... to see a 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", like Mike Evans type, Calvin Johnson type receiver, extremely rare. If you're 6'1" and 200 plus pounds with some muscle, that's a big bodied wide receiver when you've got guys like Tank Dell at 160 pounds, Xavier Worthy at 165 pounds out there.
And you think about the defensive backs, how tiny those guys are. Like, Trent McDuffie's not a big gentleman.
No, not at all. And even those middle linebackers, you don't see Ray Lewis 235 pounds out there. Middle linebackers are 210 pounds, 215 pounds, because they got to be quicker. So if you're 200 plus pounds, 6 feet, you're a big body wide receiver, in my mind.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. And I think it's good to put it in perspective like you did, because we have these images of, you know, wide receivers.
Yes.
Like, oh, we got to have this 6'5 guy. We all think back here to Kelvin Benjamin, and, you know, he ate himself out of the league and whatnot.
Yes.
And, like, that was a big-bodied, you know, wide receiver. But, yeah, maybe you're right about that. 6'1", that's kind of big, because you look at Tyreek Hill and Xavier Worthy, 5'10".
5'10", exactly. You had 3 inches to that, 25 pounds, big boy.
Yeah, it absolutely is. So there it is. Those are Mac's burning questions when it comes to the Chiefs. Coming up, oh, boy, actually, I'm actually not excited to talk about this, but it's a smart move. The Bengals actually did something smart. We'll tell you what it is next.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at TheFan965 for behind-the-scenes content from the show. Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Uniforms a lot here on the show because we love fashion, right? That's who we are as people. We love to look good, right? Everybody loves looking good, and the Packers have now released their throwback uniform, and we'll get into what that looks like here in just 1 second, but this is why you come up with a different style of uniform to use, because people do like it, and the Green Bay Packers have released it's going to be a navy jersey, right? I guess that's the best way to describe that color is navy,
for
right?
Sure.
Maybe a little bit darker than navy, but it's definitely navy, and it's got yellow, a little bit like an off gold yellow, and it says you know and this hoodie sweatshirt says Green Bay's Football Club Packers, and it's their old school logo with the GB logo on the side, not for George Brett, but for Green Bay. And somebody quote tweets this, and it's at the Packers shop where they have this. The guy's name is, he's the co-founder of Cheesehead TV, right?
Nice.
which is pretty cool. And he quote tweets it and says, take my money, please, right? And so that's what you get when you release these alternate uniforms and this alternate merchandise, is people scratching checks because they want it, because it looks cool and it's something different. And, you know, Ed Werder quote tweeted that one and goes, I'm going to contribute to the $432 million the Packers made last year, and, you know, in money from the NFL. And that's the big number that, you know, every NFL team, you know, because Green Bay is a public entity, they have to release their books. Every NFL team made $432 million last year before they opened the doors. I mean, so that the national money that they got is insanity, right? So and it's just going to continue to go up and up. But people like this kind of stuff. They like the throwback stuff. They like the different uniforms. And I think the Packers have gone kind of above and beyond with their throwback uniforms, because I like the jerseys a lot. We talked about them, the navy and the yellow, but they're also going with a throwback helmet, and they're making their helmet look like the old school leather helmets from back in the day.
It looks sick.
It's cool, right?
It looks really cool, dude. It's well done. They got the lines of the leather and the I don't know what you'd call those little holes that the leather helmets used to have
holes
on each side. Yeah, just holes. Yeah. Yeah, probably breathable holes, because you couldn't with the leather.
Well, I mean, imagine wearing a big, like, take a leather jacket, right, and put that over the top of your head. I mean, who thought that was going to protect you back
exactly.
in the day? But I think, look, I honest to God,
awesome.
Yeah, and the pants are good too. The pants have kind of matched the gold of the numbers and whatnot. But no, these are some seriously slick looking jerseys and uniforms. Like, they've done a really good job with that. A lot of those kind of old school throwbacks that you've seen in Pittsburgh and in Green Bay have not been great. I think they hit a home run on this one. I really do. I like it a lot.
I like it a lot too, man. I mean, I keep just looking at it. I mean, I think the color's great with the gold, the navy. They got the stripes on the sleeves that look really good. Even the helmet, like, it's got the stitch outlines that the leather helmet would have. Like, it looks like it's stitched.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it, this is really good. This is their 1923, I think, their classic uniform.
That's the 1923 throwback, so 102 years old.
It's insane. And you mentioned the money that they'll make from this. I mean, bring it all the time with the Chiefs, though, but the Packers don't even have, like, that premier player that casuals would go buy a jersey from. I'm trying to think.
Yeah, like, Jordan Love's not that
he's
guy.
He's not there
right?
yet. Yeah. Like, they don't have a running back or a wide receiver like that, or even a defensive guy, an edge rusher who's going to sell. But, like, if the Chiefs did something like that, you know how many people would go buy the Mahomes, the Kelce, even the Chris Jones jersey of that? Yeah. I mean, they've got premier players that casuals all around the world would want to go by.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting when you start talking about, you know, the Chiefs and the throwbacks where they don't have any because they've never really changed their uniforms other than the Texan logo versus the KC logo on the side of the helmet. But what would you even do for an alternate color? And everybody throws that out there all the time. Like, what would you do for an alternate color if you were the Chiefs? And I always said, do something completely different that isn't in your color scheme, that's completely different from where you are. Now, I'm not an artist, right? I've never, like, that side of my brain, I draw a stick figure, right?
I'm so bad, same.
Doesn't work
it's
for me,
terrible.
Right? Not my thing, you know? So I don't know what the answer is, but I've always thought, and I know this is going to sound ridiculous, I always thought a powder blue Chiefs jersey would be kind of cool for something different.
Damn.
To kind of get that, you know, I don't want to say connection, you know, to the Royals or anything like that and steal from them. But, man, I just think that's something that kind of represents Kansas City. And, like, everybody sees that powder blue. They know the Royals. They know Kansas City. A lot of teams do use the powder blue in baseball that we've seen. But just something different. I don't know if that's the right answer, Mac, and it's probably not. And I'm sure people are, like, hard rolling their eyes going, that sucks. I don't want to see a powder blue Chiefs jersey. But you see all of these, you know, organizations and whatnot throughout sports, they release these alternate jerseys a lot of the times, and they don't match the color schemes of what these teams,
100%.
You know, have and whatnot. And it's okay to kind of think differently and kind of outside the box, if you will, of what you normally have. It's like everybody wants to go with yellow or gray or black as their alternate uniforms. And I understand that because it kind of does fit the color scheme. The black doesn't, though, of the Chiefs, because the black is not a color except for the, you know,
except for the arrowhead outline.
You know, but other than that, there's not, you know, there's not, I don't even know that there's much black in that. You know, it's a very thin line, right?
Yeah.
So
it's a stretch.
Yeah, right.
you know?
Yeah. So, like, that's where I'm going with the alternate jerseys. If the Chiefs were going to do that alternate uniform and that alternate jersey, what color would you go with? But everybody always wants to default to gray or to yellow or to black. And I was just thinking something completely different, like powder blue. I think Chiefs powder blue uniforms, pants and top, and a matte white helmet with a kind of a black KC, you know, interlocking. I don't know. Could be something different. Maybe you do a powder blue jersey with the red numbers or something on them, similar to what KU has done over the years when they've rolled out their powder blues. Yeah, I like those a lot too. There's nothing wrong with just thinking different and going completely different and saying, you know what we're doing? We're going with teal, you know, or whatever color you want to do.
I mean, teal would be kind of cool, too. You could make the KC Current kind of connection there a little bit there as well.
Yes, you could.
I don't hate it, and it looks like the text line doesn't either. A lot of powder blue text as well. One from the 816 does kind of make me walk away from the powder blue ideas. Powder blue in the NFL makes me think Chargers, and that is true. The Chargers.
Oh, good point.
Yeah, and if you stuck that with our yellow too, all of a sudden it's okay. We're kind of copying our division rival.
Yeah.
We got another text.
That's a fair point.
Yeah.
I didn't think about the Chargers in that
me
one.
Me either. Yeah. It's a good text.
Good text. Yeah.
Either powder blue or Monarchs theme. We've always heard that too. Monarchs theme would be really great, right?
Blue and red, or maybe like the old kind of A's, Kansas City A's colors, where it was red and blue, you know, and that kind of moniker, and do something like that, you know, something to kind of pay homage to, you know, the teams that were here before. That would be kind of cool. But I don't know what the right answer is. That's why I love engaging you guys on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, because you always bring up great points that maybe we're not thinking about.
For sure.
Yeah, like the Charger thing, I'm like, oh, yeah, we really can't go powder blue, you
can't
know, with the Chargers being powder blue and all that kind of stuff and whatnot. So I don't know. I don't know what the right answer is or the right color or right color scheme or anything like that, but I guarantee you this. I guarantee you the designers at Nike have submitted thousands of these to the Chiefs going, any interest?
Hello, please? This one? How about this one?
Nah, we're good. Got this stadium thing we're working on in Kansas and Missouri, and you know, we'll get back to you when we're done with that. But I think it would be wild, man. I think it would be awesome to have something different for
me
the
too.
Chiefs, because this Packer thing is going to take off today.
100%.
You're going to see it everywhere. Everybody's going to want to buy gear because it looks good.
It looks awesome. I think it looks great. All black with the red Chiefs arrowhead. Maybe teal in October for Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
Good text from Twitter of one of our listeners. He says that the Packers can use the same sort of navy blue that the Bears use, then the Chiefs can use powder blue too. That is true. The Bear,
it's true.
And that's a great tweet because that if you're trying to figure out what blue they're using, it is the Bears blue.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It's the Bears
blue. It's the Bears blue.
Yeah, not quite navy, like a little darker.
Right.
Yeah, that's it. Wizards colors from the 816. That's funny. I'm fine with the no Chiefs alternates. Just wish they'd wear white on white more often. I'm okay with that. I do like the white on whites. Do an Oilers theme.
Great idea.
I mean, those colors are awesome.
Yeah, I do like that a lot. Yeah.
Those colors are awesome, man.
Yeah.
And then 816 says, Teal Mahomes, he do be owning that team. Yeah. Teal would be cool.
Teal. Yeah, absolutely.
Teal's kind of a winner.
Teal
yeah,
is
like
kind
that.
Of a winner
yeah.
in that. You know, the current colors are great. You kind of incorporate that. Oh, now the Packers have put out a video of the players opening the helmet box and looking at the helmets.
Oh, yeah. Damn. Okay. I bet they're like, oh, this is sick.
Yeah, yeah. They're like, yeah, that's pretty cool. One guy's like, is this actually leather? No, that's really cool. They did a really nice job with that. So kudos to the Packers on their throwback uniforms. I want to give credit, and I don't like to do this because I hate this team, but it's the Cincinnati Bengals. You brought this to my attention, so it's your fault. But Zach Taylor's actually doing something that is smart. And I know I sound kind of hypocritical when I say this, but I think when you're the Cincinnati Bengals, you have to kind of change things up a little bit. They have been total ass in the first month of the season with
Terrible.
Zach Taylor and with Joe Burrow. Were they like 4-13 in September or something like that? Isn't that the number? Something sickening. Like they just don't know how to win games early. And they always get behind the eight ball. And everybody goes, well, if it wasn't for September, Cincinnati, blah, blah. Yeah, but you do have September. You have to find a way to get over the hump. And I just saw growth out of Zach Taylor as a head coach. Not that he needs me to tell him that he's growing as a football coach, because he probably doesn't know who I am. He should, but because we won't know him in about a year. He's growing as a coach because they said that they're going to have Joe Burrow and company play more in the preseason now. And I think, Mac, we may start to see the tide shift a little bit to that, because as we know, the first month of the season for the last couple of years since we switched to that third preseason game, has not been aesthetically pleasing, right?
No, it's
for
been
a lot
slow.
Of teams.
Kind no of scoring.
Slow approach to everything. Then October hits and everybody kind of hits the ground running. They've got their sea legs under them. I'm interested to see if this Zach Taylor move is just something that they do because they start out so miserable, or if it's something that kind of takes off and we see a lot more teams potentially playing more guys in the preseason because we only have those three games to kind of ramp everybody up. And now that we have 2 years of a case study of going and looking and saying, September's kind of stunk for a lot of teams, maybe we're going to see this more now in the preseason.
Yeah, I hope that is the case because it's not. Yes, the Bengals have been an abomination. They've been an atrocity, an embarrassment to the game of football in the first month of the season. 7-15-1 is Zach Taylor's record in September. 1-10 is their record in the first 2 weeks of the season.
Wow.
So they are just abysmal to start the year. And I think more teams need to do that well because we've had this discussion. I know this discussion has been going on for the past 3 or 4 years, but just you and I have had this discussion last year at the beginning of the season. It wasn't just the Bengals. Yes, they were losing games, but teams that were even winning weren't winning like they needed to look. It was just like, whoa, this team's more talented than this. Why were they penalized 7 times? Why did they not line up correctly? Just little things like that. So I think, yeah, getting into those minute details in the preseason and really kind of getting those things worked out right now, all the kinks worked out in the preseason that you have to take advantage of because the Chiefs, they don't play. They play their starters more than other teams,
yeah.
And they don't have these issues at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, so maybe teams will start playing their guys more. I don't know, but you always have to balance to the risk versus the reward. You know,
for
how
sure.
much of a reward are we going to get? But you know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Zach Taylor showed he's not an insane individual by doing this. I do like this
move
by him. It shows growth. It really does. Like you start to look at players. Are they maturing? Are they growing? Are they doing things differently? What about head coaches in this league? Are they getting better as the seasons go along that they're in charge? And I think Zach Taylor recognized a problem and he's kind of come up with a solution to try to fix that problem. We'll see if it does. And if it doesn't work, then I don't know what the answer is to that question.
That's probably see as Zach Taylor is what the answer is. I think if I'm Joe Burrow, I'm like, okay, sweet, totally get it. That is a priority. We've got to win games at the beginning, but I'm also looking at Zach and going, okay, yeah, I'm in on that, but is that happening for the defense too? Because it's not like they've helped us in the first 4 weeks either.
Yeah, exactly.
And, like, are they going to be out?
And by the way, are you going to sign any players?
Exactly.
You
know,
Ben Maller did bring up a good point, though, with Trey Hendrickson, and he said, look, he goes, I understand he's a good player, but they were still giving up 35 points a game last year, and he was getting 18 sacks, you know? So maybe the Bengals are looking at it from that perspective and saying, we weren't any good with you, so why should we pay you to be no good, too? I didn't really think of that perspective on that.
Yeah,
you know?
That is interesting.
Yeah, hey, we were giving up 35 points. Points a game. You had 18 sacks last year. Why are we going to pay you $30 million to have 18 sacks and still give up 35 points a game?
Yeah, exactly.
That's why
yeah.
you don't invest in just one player. You got to invest in a lot of different players, which brings us to the Royals. Interesting, yesterday Bobby Witt sat out that game and missed the game for the first time in ever, maybe, I feel
seriously,
like, right?
Like he so rare.
Kind of twisted that knee ankle thing on that swing the other night, but stayed in the game. Didn't seem like there was anything wrong. He finished the at-bat and whatnot. Took the day off yesterday for, I guess, precautionary, you know, standpoint and have the day off today, so you give them 2 off days to essentially heal as you get ready to open a big 3-game series against the Guardians. But I told you this yesterday when we saw that he wasn't in the lineup yesterday. You know, you say what you want about whether or not this is a playoff team right now. If Bobby Witt is out for an extended period of time, which I don't think he's going to be, but if he were out for an extended period of time, Mac, you're not a playoff team. Like, you need Bobby Witt Jr. in that lineup in order for you to be considered a postseason team. And if he were to hit the disabled list right now and have to spend time missing games because of the twisted ankle or knee or whatever it was that he had the other night in Chicago, then that tells you where your season is. And at that point in time, if you're looking at a long stretch of time with Bobby being on the disabled list, again, I don't think he is going to be there. We're just having the conversation. But if that were to be the case where he was going to spend some time on the disabled list, then you really have to be in sell mode and really think about peeling off some pieces of this team.
I mean, this team is hanging on by a thread with a top three player in baseball.
Yeah.
If you subtracted that, yeah, man, this already has been a not fun team to watch for the majority of the season. Without Bobby Witt Jr.'s defensive plays and his just wow moments, yeah, man, that would suck and that'd be tough and they'd have to go all in on selling. But luckily, it looks like he said yesterday it was just kind of a little thing. He could have played if it was a playoff game or something of that nature. So.
Right.
hopefully this is, he'll be back tomorrow, right?
Yeah, you got to have him back in the lineup.
Have to.
And you have to have him at 100%. You know, he's the catalyst for the team as much as Salvador Perez is, and that's why it was so good.
1,000,000%.
You know, with Salvi seeing him yesterday, get you know, the bat moving in the right direction. It's funny, when Salvi and Vinny and those guys produce, this team wins games. And they win them fairly easy, too, when those guys produce. And so if it's Salvi, if it's Bobby, if it's Vinny and they're going, chances are you're going to win games. You're going to win a lot of games when those guys are producing. The problem is they haven't all produced at the same time this year, and so you've been kind of stuck behind that eight ball. But, yeah, big series opens against the Guardians coming up on Friday. I saw this thing yesterday, and it really had me intrigued, and I hope I phrased this the right way for you, Mac. It was from Fox Sports, and it said, Lords of the Ringless, ranking the 10 QBs poised for Super Bowl breakthrough. And they listed the 10 quarterbacks that they believe are the best that still don't have a ring. You've got Baker Mayfield, Brock Purdy. You've got Joe Burrow. You've got CJ Stroud. You've got Jared Goff. You've got Jordan Love. You've got Justin Herbert, and you've got Jaden Daniels. You've got Josh Allen, and you have Lamar Jackson. That's a hell of a group of quarterbacks,
it's
right?
It's insane. It's crazy.
No rings.
Zero. It's insane. No hardware. Joe
no
Burrow
rings.
At 8, by the way, is kind of crazy on this list, but
no rings.
Wow.
All of them combined have no rings. If you had to make a bet,
okay,
who will win 5 Super Bowls first? Saying Mahomes has 0 right now. Who will win 5 Super Bowls first? Patrick Mahomes or a combination of those 10?
He has 0?
Yeah, we're resetting Mahomes at 0 right now. Because if I said 5, well, that's only 2
over.
More.
Yeah,
he's already got 3, right? So
we're
starting from 0 right now. All things being equal, equal playing field. Who will win 5 Super Bowls first? Would you put your money on Patrick Mahomes or a combination of those 10?
My football logistic mind, the A plus B part of me is saying, come on, dude, take the field, 10 guys. But then the other A plus B part of me is going, hey, let's go off the evidence. We've seen this now for 8 seasons. We've got a decent sample size. The majority of guys in these lists is guys that Mahomes has beaten when it's mattered over and over and over again. So
Josh, Lamar, Burrow,
yes,
Baker in
yes,
the playoffs.
Exactly. Herbert hasn't even gotten to the point where he can face Mahomes in the playoffs. He's
right.
Got to get over his own choking. CJ Stroud hasn't gotten to that point yet.
Oh, he's beaten him, you know, what, twice in the playoffs
he's beaten
now?
Him, yeah, is it twice? Yeah. Well,
no,
once, just once last season. Yeah, no, not 2 years ago. But yeah, I just look at this and I'm like, I kind of think it might be Mahomes. I don't know if that's super biased to say, but
I don't think it is.
He's better than all of these. He's beaten all of these guys. He's got a better coach than these guys. He's done it.
I think when you're looking at something like that, it's like, you know, when you're just like that group project in school or something like that, you know, you can get that group project done all by yourself, but you have to rely on everybody else to get all the information, and you're relying on this person, you're relying on that person. Like, you've been in an office where you've been on a deadline and you're one piece of information away from getting that project done, but you've got, you know, Sally sitting back there who can't get her S together and give you the information that you need because she's on a smoke break. So you're relying on her or him or whoever the case may be to get you the information that you need. I think when you're relying on 10 people to try to do something, that's way too many.
Mm-hmm.
I have more confidence in Patrick Mahomes because he's one individual and I know what he's capable of than trying to be reliant on 10 other individuals to get their S together to move this thing in the same direction. You know what I'm saying?
Like 100%.
So,
yes.
I mean, I hate to be, you know, that, you know, the homer, as people like to say.
And it is.
But is it? Or is it this, like, I would love to see what the odds are on that.
I would too.
You know, I don't know if, like, Alex knows how to create odds and things like that. He can make the odds for that. What do you think would be the favorite? Do you think the field would be the favorite, or do you think Mahomes would be the favorite? Because again, remember, Vegas is trying to get money on each side.
That's true. That's true.
It's not what makes sense. It's like, where do you think the money's going to go? And I would think most people would probably put money on the field, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think the field would have the majority of the money just because of the math, right? The thing is, like, if you told me Josh Allen wins 2 in the next 10 years, I'd be like, yeah, could totally see that. Could totally see. I think Josh Allen is the second best, and I think there's a gap before you get to that 3. I really think he's special. But, like, now I have to find 3 other Super Bowls between these guys, and Mahomes isn't winning those?
Right.
That's really, really tough, man. From the 479, Mahomes will be lucky to win two more. And then some sad breaking news coming from Adam Schefter here, man. This stinks. He says that Jets quarterback Justin Fields was carted to the locker room with an apparent lower leg injury. So let's hope that's not serious. Yeah. That would suck.
Sad news, I thought you were going to say somebody passed away.
No. Injury. Yeah. Injury sadness. Yeah. But
well, who's their backup in New York?
It's a good question.
Winston they may trade for?
Tyrod Taylor, maybe? I don't know. I'd have to look it up. Yeah, that's too bad.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, I mean, no matter who it is, you lose your starting quarterback at this time of the year. I mean, that's just the Jets.
And for Fields, I mean, seriously, if you look at Fields, man, this was his last opportunity to be a starting quarterback probably. So yeah, he's going to miss this season, and that'll be it for him. He will forever be a second-string QB and a decent one at that. But I was really excited about them this year. That's too bad.
Well, we'll get the trade rumors started and start to look at who has quarterbacks that could potentially be traded to the Jets. It's not like Will Levis. Oh, I got the answer for you. I'll tell you who the Jets are going to get next.
Hey, it's Michael Wacha, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Well, I'll tell you what. To come in from the Jets universe today. That's going to be the meltdown of the century to watch that's going on right now in New York. Brandon Tierney of WFAN, Fields carted off. I hate football.
Yeah, man.
Now, it does suck. Obviously, Justin Fields going down with a lower leg injury, carted off today per Adam Schefter. Now, the rest of the internet, as Mac broke that news to you earlier here on Fesco and Dusty. And what I find to be very interesting about that, and you know, like people were putting their hopes in Justin Fields. Like, I hate to break it to you. Like, he's not that great of a quarterback.
No.
But that's who the Jets had as their quarterback right now. And now you're looking around the NFL and you're wondering, okay, what are we going to do with the quarterback position in New York? I think it opens the door right now, and you have to make this move. You go out and you get Kirk Cousins. I think that's the logical move for the Jets right about now. Either that or Jameis Winston. You know, the Giants now have an opportunity to trade. Maybe the Giants want to trade Russell Wilson and send him to the Jets. He could work with Justin Fields again, or whatever the case may be. But I think, to me and Mac, I mean, maybe you disagree, but I think Kirk Cousins is the logical answer right now. And if you are the Jets at this point in time, I mean, I think you got to go out and make that move for Kirk Cousins. You've kind of set your team up, you know, for people to have success this year. You're re-signing all of your young players. People are excited again. And you can't win in this league without a competent quarterback. And when you lose your starting quarterback on day two of training camp, it sucks. It's not the end of the world. I mean, Trent Green went down and Kurt Warner took over. I know that's an extreme case in a different circumstance. But you're early enough in training camp now where you can go get Kirk Cousins and he can go to New York and start learning that new language and that new offense and figure out a way to make your quarterback position better than what it is right now. Because right now you're up a creek without a paddle, man.
So is it Brady Cook, the next Kurt Warner? Is that what you're saying?
Is he the guy? Is he the backup?
He's one of the backups. Zero. They've got two other backups, him and someone else. Zero NFL appearances. And then Tyrod Taylor, who is 28-28-1. I think they just showed his record. He's exactly 500, which is pretty cool. Yeah, man, this sucks. I was really excited about Justin Fields. Not that I think he thought he was going to have this breakout year. Just from a fantasy football perspective, they have a great offensive line. Him and Breece Hall. Justin Fields is an electric player to watch. Whether he's actually productive at winning and good at the quarterback position, I don't know. But he's one of the better athletes in all of the game right now, and he's one of the fastest quarterbacks in the league. And I was excited for him to have an offensive line and a running back. And hey, let's just run the ball a lot. Aaron Glenn and that defense is going to be nasty. They're going to have some serious moxie. So I was kind of looking forward to like a feisty little 6 or 7 win Jets team with Justin Fields running around the yard. He was carted off the field, as you mentioned. He did walk off the field, carted off the sideline to the locker room or whatever. So he did walk off on his own power at one point. That gives me maybe an inkling of hope that there may be some time left for Justin Fields here as the starting quarterback of the Jets. But yeah, I think Kirk Cousins is a logical get, if Atlanta will pay for him, then I would go get Kirk Cousins. I'm not going to go pay for anyone right now if I'm the New York Jets. If they want me to take $30 million of Kirk's 50 this year, then no, I'm way out on that. We just paid Justin Fields. If I'm the Jets, we just paid Justin Fields 2 for $20, mm-hmm. and he's hurt. So I'm not paying another quarterback to not play. I already know that I'm not winning the Super Bowl. Hell, I'm probably not making the playoffs if I'm the New York Jets, and I'm being real about where I'm at right now. So if they'll pay for Kirk Cousins, I can get him for cheap, then that's great. If not, then I'm looking at, you know, like, does Ryan Tannehill, he didn't play last year, he's going to come out of retirement. Like,
what about Joe Flacco?
Joe Flacco, if the Browns probably wouldn't get rid of, I don't know.
They got 85 quarterbacks on that roster,
he's their
which
best
means you don't
option.
Have one.
Yes,
you know.
Exactly. Carson Wentz has been brought up from the text line. From
Carson
the
Wentz just signed with, was it Tennessee?
No, was it?
I just swear I saw Carson Wentz sign with somebody.
I think he's a free agent right now. That's what I'm seeing.
Is he? I swear I just saw he signed somewhere. Somebody picked up Carson Wentz.
No, all I see on... You ready for this?
Yeah.
One day ago, Chiefs quarterback Carson Wentz reflects on his Week 18 performance. Quote, I didn't play my best.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know that.
No,
we
he's a Titan.
Wow, it doesn't say that on his overview.
Yeah.
So he's officially a Tennessee Titan.
Yeah, Titans. Oh, wait, it says.
They're just interested.
Well, I don't know. It says.
Three QBs Titans could sign after the Will Levis injury. Yeah, so he could be a Tennessee Titan.
Oh, okay, Titans. Okay, the headline made me think like they signed him there. Okay, that's what I was looking at.
660, I think Dusty's listening. Drew Lock time.
He's already in Seattle, though.
Exactly.
He's back in Seattle. Yeah, he's not a starting quarterback in the NFL. I think that has been proven. But no, they've got some situations and some things. Now, I always do kind of, Tyrod Taylor is already trending in the United States today. Already trending on X,
the NFL
right?
just owns
it,
the world.
It really does. Now, but that's where I want to caution a little bit, because we say carted off all the time, and that's a buzzword in the
it
NFL.
Is.
Carted
it is.
Off is a buzzword. Yeah, he rode in the cart. But that doesn't mean...
That's why I wanted to say he did walk off.
Yeah.
As I saw that, I was like, okay.
That's why I think it was important that you said that. And that made me think, okay, let's talk
slower
about being...
Roll.
Because you're carted off at the practice facility in St. Joe because nobody wants to walk up that hill.
Yes.
So a lot of guys... So Rich Cimini, who covers the Jets for a publication out of New York, ESPN, the ESPN network, he says, early concern for the Jets. Justin Fields is carted to the locker room. He's riding shotgun on the cart, not on the back. Oh, boy. And so why do you get an oh, boy for riding shotgun on the cart and not on the back? I would think the oh, boy would come if he's on the back of the cart, towel over his
exactly.
head or something like that. Riding shotgun makes me think, like, maybe it's not that big a deal.
Could be fine.
Right? Could be fine. Could be just a cramp. We don't know. And that's why I said we're all putting the, the cart before the horse. But, with Vinny Pasquantino for the love of all things, please, somebody give me a good update on Justin Fields. Of course, ML Football tweets out Justin Fields on the Jets, and it's Aaron Rodgers running out with the flag.
Oh my god!
It's already starting. And because it's the Jets, right? Because it's the Jets, it's going to become bigger than it is.
100%.
Right? If this was an injury that happened to an Arizona Cardinal quarterback or a Seattle quarterback, it wouldn't be that big a deal, right? New York is a big deal, but the Jets are even bigger because the Jets can't get out of their own way. They charger like the Chargers. Mm-hmm. They brown like the Browns.
Yeah.
They jet like the Jets. They cowboy like the Cowboys. Like, they're they're in that category of teams that F themselves up.
100%.
Right?
Yes, every time. It's just like, damn it, dude. How did you manage to get in your own way again? And here we are with just some bad luck. Hopefully, obviously, as you mentioned, he did walk off on his own power for part of that. Rode shotgun, so hopefully it's okay. From the 913, Veach should deal out Minshew right now. I would take a third. I'm sure you would take a third round
pick. Yeah, I'm sure
pick.
He would as well. Nobody's giving you a third round pick for Gardner Minshew.
What are we doing?
Who would be our backup then?
Exactly. Jameis Winston from the 913.
Yeah, I don't hate that one.
Don't hate that either.
Yeah. He's already there in New York. People love him.
Yeah, people like him.
He'd be a great fit in a locker room for any team. Like, I love Jameis. We had him at the Super Bowl, the interaction with him at the Super Bowl and the conversation with him at the Super Bowl. I love that dude.
He's a great guy.
He's funny.
He's funny, yes.
He's very witty. He has some quick zingers that you have to, be on your toes to get, I like Jameis Winston a lot.
He's a good vibes guy, too.
Very good vibes
guy. He would bring
a
nice energy to that Jets locker room that maybe has lacked that for probably the whole organization's time or existence, rather. So I think Jameis could actually provide maybe a little umph. And, like, you got to imagine Garrett Wilson's just like, damn, man, really?
Well, yeah.
This guy Justin Fields. So maybe Jameis could come in and say, make some jokes, you know, just kind of have a smile and maybe make Garrett Wilson laugh at the very least, because this is rough.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely insanity that this has happened to the Jets. I mean, it is and it isn't, but it's like, again with the Jets?
They too.
Again.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
With the Jets, again with the Jets.
Yes. It's crazy.
Unbelievable. Coming up, he probably played his last game yesterday for the Royals. We'll tell you who it is next.
Fesco and Dusty. Subscribe and watch the show on YouTube by going to our channel at TheFan965, Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.